Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know there's various content over there, but on Wednesdays and Saturdays, the new blogs go up. So look for one of those tomorrow morning. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So I noticed, Dan, we've had a couple of interesting trades in our fantasy basketball league. The first one, I wasn't super sold on it, but it was two superstar guys being swapped for each other. One guy got Kawhi Leonard, and he gave up Carmelo Anthony and Sergio Rodriguez. I know Anthony's had a bit of a down year, but, you know, it's still, to me that was a pretty fair trade. I didn't look to see who the guy cut. I'm assuming he probably just cut Rodriguez. He was just kind of a throw-in guy. But this other deal we have now that's actually pending, I'm not as sold on this one. It's Isaiah Thomas, the Boston point guard, Will Barton, the guard from Denver, and then LaMarcus Aldridge, obviously from the Spurs. Those three guys are being traded for Karl Anthony Towns and then Brandon Jennings. And I got to tell you, I voted against this trade. I don't know if it's going to go through or not. I don't know how many people actively actually look and vote against stuff like that. But I was wondering what your take on the second, or well, either trade, what was your take on?
The first one, I mean, that guy was trying to trade me everybody and Carmelo Anthony for Kevin Durant. And I mean, I would get at least for about 2 weeks straight an offer every day, maybe two a day. So I'm glad he finally got rid of Melo. I thought the funny thing was is he actually packaged up Melo with a couple other guys that have been on my teams in the past. So he's been in the league for a while and got a good memory. The second one, I haven't had a good look at. I just saw the emails, you know, yesterday morning or this morning. Was kind of looking at it. I didn't really know what to think of it.
So, yeah, you know, and the sad part is the fact that I didn't get to make these deals. I've sent out quite a few, and either they just expire. You know, I sent two to a guy in case he, he liked one guy over the other guy that I was willing to get, you know, give up. And I thought maybe he wasn't responding because I was playing him last week. But, yeah, it turns out he just didn't respond at all. So, I don't know. I tried. You know, I'm working on it here, but yeah, I think I've sent out, not even counting the ones I sent to you, I've probably sent out six or seven other deals that just, you know, either get rejected or, you know, I just don't hear back from the guy and they kind of expire. So it's kind of like, man, I don't know, I can't solve what somebody else is looking for or... You know, what somebody else might demand. You know, maybe I just don't have what somebody else needs. I don't know. So I'm trying to figure it out.
Not easy.
No, you know, and I mean, I did get that one lead, you know, the one trade offer, you know, the guy wanted to give me three of his bench players for my two best players. You know, that's always a fun deal to get. From, you know, somebody, it's like, okay, thanks. Let's, let's move on here. You honestly think I'm going to take this deal? I don't even remember the three bench guys he wanted to send me, but he wanted Andrew Wiggins and Damian Lillard for three of his bench players. And I'm like, dude, I get it. You know, that's wonderful. Now, and I think I sent him a counter back, and then he just, you know, he didn't want to give anybody up for my guys, I guess, to drop them in his lap. But luckily, my team has been performing better. I was 8-4-1 last week. I'm actually moved into sixth place overall. But I did see you had a really bad week last week. 2-10-1. What happened?
What happened? I lost.
No, I know, but I mean, did you have injured guys? Did you pull a Mr. Fantasy and black out on your lineup, or you know?
No, I mean, I've had three to four injured guys on my roster pretty much the entire season, so.
You know, I mean, even with the bad week, you are only back in 12th, so it's not like, you know, you're not just hanging around right there. I mean, you know, another good week or, you know, you beat the right team and you kind of move right back up. So we'll have to see how you do this week. I'm hoping for a big week. I'm playing 18th place team, and I believe he's dead. So I'm hoping, you know, it'd be nice if I could cash in on one of these these guys. It's weird because, like, even when I play these teams, I don't ever seem to get those big weekly wins. You know, I end up beating them by two or three categories, and it's like, really? I can't even crush a dead team? So hopefully maybe this will be the week I'll be able to jump out and possibly get a big win. I don't know. It would be a big plus.
Yeah, it would be nice. I need a huge win.
So now, you haven't pulled off any of these trades either, right? I know you weren't involved in the two. I don't even know, were there any other? I wasn't even paying attention to the other trades. Have we made any other trades in this league, or is it just the two right now?
I think just the two. I mean, you're dying to get Ricky Rubio, but I don't really like the guys you have. So.
I want Rubio, but if I don't get him, it's fine, because sadly he seems to stink this year, and I don't know why. I was just hoping to buy him low and hope he improved. So, but if, you know, you want to keep him, that's fine. I mean, there's no way in hell I was giving you Andrew Wiggins for him. I don't know where you got that idea from. So,
hey, they're at the moment ranking was the same. It was very close to each other.
Probably not. Wiggins is, you know, 18 times the player Rubio is. But I do see there's a little blurb that Dirk has been upgraded to questionable for Wednesday's game, so maybe you'll get him back.
And then he'll go back on what happened last time.
So, you know, that will be fantastic for you. No, that's just what you need. And I did see, are you still hanging on to Chandler Parsons? Because they're saying there's a chance he could return Wednesday as well. So look at that. You could get your entire team back.
Oh, then I have to drop a couple guys.
Do you got guys sitting on IR?
Yeah, Dirk and Parsons.
So that would be, we'll have to see. Maybe you'll get that opportunity and you'll be able to make some moves and have a full team. That seemed to help my hockey team a little bit when I started getting all my guys back. The team obviously started to do better. So maybe you'll have the same luck with basketball.
Yeah, then I need some moves in hockey to try to shore up some categories.
Yeah, I've been looking. I haven't quite found the exact guy I'm kind of looking for. I could use some help. I need a guy who kind of gets a couple of categories, helps me out in a couple categories. The one I'm really hurting in for some reason this year, normally I do really well in it, is face-offs. And I'm really, really scuffling this year when it comes to face-offs. So I've been trying to track down some of those guys, but I don't really want to get stuck with just a face-off guy. I would kind of like a guy who at least, you know, not only does he get some face-offs, but, you know, maybe he, you know, gets some hits or, you know, he hands out some assists or something like that. I'm hoping for, you know, a little bit of a multitude guy, you know, multi-purpose guy there, I guess you call him, instead of just a face-off guy. But, yeah, my team really ended up struggling over the weekend, and I went from winning to losing very quickly. And, you know, my whole week turned around on my weekend. I mean, the team just scuffled bad. I think I was up three or four categories going in, and I'll have to double check here in a second, but I believe I ended up losing by two categories or something, and it knocked me way down. It was just kind of like, wow, that was for a week where I didn't do terrible. I mean, I lost by a couple categories, but everybody else ahead of me must have done really well, because I think I dropped from 8th to 12th. So, you know, I'll have to see if there was a fix there. But, yeah, I learned today, you know, I had forgot to do my lineup, so I jumped in real quick before we started the podcast, and I just hit that start active players deal they have. You know, I was just kind of like, okay, I'll just throw this in real quick, make sure I get a lineup in so I don't screw it up. And I realized, especially with the NBA, boy, they don't always start your best players. The suggestion was, like, they had Andrew Wiggins on my bench. And I was kind of like, why would I put Andrew Wiggins on my bench? It just didn't make a lot of sense. So I made sure I went back and checked everything when I did it for hockey to get the more positive guys in and stuff. You know, that's all I needed was to hit it. And then all of a sudden I don't have Patrick Kane in my lineup. I mean, I've already jinxed the guy as it is, but I would still like to have him in my lineup. So.
Well, the night you don't put him in your lineup, he'll hit a hat trick.
Yeah.
Higgins will, you know, triple double with 50 points.
Exactly. So let's see. Yeah, I had a, I had a 6-8-2 week, but the guy right behind me in the standings had a 10-5-1 week. So I guess that's probably why I dropped, it was 12th. Now that they've added in the Monday stats, I'm actually back up to 9th. So, you know, that's, I guess, not too bad. But, yeah, it's just kind of maddening. I see you had a good week. You were 10-4-2. Yeah, I'm still, still searching for, as always, a little help there. I'm, you know, in the 9 weeks we've had for the season, I'm 1-8 in face-off wins. So that's like the other one, I'm struggling in shorthanded points, but that's one of those real tough categories that is to find guys. That's really kind of hit or miss. So I figure I just got to kind of ride that one out. There's not a whole lot I can do there. I just got to hope my guys start getting some shorthanded points, but yeah, face-offs, I am just abysmal. So I'm looking slowly but surely to, you know, correct that, or, you know, figure something out. I'm sure I'll wander into a guy somewhere that, you know, helps me out, at least I hope. So, you know, maybe it's time to go looking for, you know, the trade instead of just scouring the waiver wire. I'll have to see if there's somebody out there who's willing to make a deal there.
It's not easy.
No, it's definitely not. It's part of the way, you know, things have kind of gone. So, you know, I'll just have to see, you know, how it works out. But yeah, that's one of the, you know, one of the fun things you deal with, you know, fantasy. But I did, you know, since we are kind of going over our fantasy stuff, I actually won in the Auction League playoff against the number one seed. I knocked Secret Squirrel out, so I advanced to the second round of the Auction League, the Sports Time Radio Auction League Fantasy Playoffs. There you go. How did you end up doing?
Well, I didn't make the auction, but I made the snake, and guess who knocked me out?
Secret Squirrel?
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, when you talk about, I won by the smallest of margins. I beat him, what is it? I beat him by 0.37. I won 154.55 to 154.18. So I was,
the thing that sucked for me was he had a couple, he shouldn't have beat me, but he had a couple guys score like 30 plus points where his quarterback only scored 2 points, and he had a couple dead guys. And it was just one of those weeks for me.
So yeah, I was lucky enough to have LeSean McCoy go really big for me. So that was a very big plus on my side. So hopefully I can continue to pull these upsets off. I don't know if I can. I faced the what were these guys? Let me jump back here real quick. And I know the team I'm playing was 11-3 during the season. Secret Squirrel was 12-2. So I managed to get past that one. What was this? Oh, I'm playing the guy who was seeded fourth coming into the playoffs. But oddly, the first and second place team both lost in the first round of the Auction League playoffs.
It's pretty awesome.
So, you know, yeah, kind of strange, but, you know, and we are one of these leagues. I know a lot of leagues don't do it, but we actually go all the way through week 17. A lot of people, their Super Bowl is this weekend. So, let's see. Oh, not only did you suffer your loss, but Mr. Fantasy took a beating. Well, not really a beating, but he got knocked out of the Snake League playoffs as well. So,
yeah.
I guess I'm the last man standing, so we'll have to see if I can pull off a victory.
This is the first time I've ever made the football playoffs. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I managed to win the Snake League last year. Obviously, I didn't even make the playoffs this year, so that shows how good that was. That was my Yahoo team where they predicted I would go like 12-2 or something during the regular season. And I was nowhere close. So next year I want like a C or a D in my draft rating from Yahoo, and hopefully the team will do better, because it just didn't work out there for me. But you know, this league looks like it held a little more true to form. The only team that got upset, and I don't even know if you can really call it an upset, oddly, technically, you were upset because you came in as the fourth place team and you lost to the fifth place team. But otherwise, okay, the first, second, and third seeds all advanced. I didn't realize you were 10-4 during the season. You had a really good year. You suck. I hate you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. I'm blocking you from the league next year. Oh, so.
Well, you know, it's
so,
funny,
yeah.
Because before I preferred the Auction League, and you know, all around. But now I'm starting to think that's not the one I'm going to be good at when it comes to football.
Yeah, well, you know, it was odd because, you know, as you and Mr. Fantasy know, I'm still not a big fan of the auction league, but I made the playoffs last year there. I made the playoffs this year there. It's just kind of like, okay, great. Hey, thanks. I'm in the playoffs. I guess I'll take it and move on. I don't know what else to kind of say. I mean, it was just one of those, you know, one of those odd situations. I did lose a guy against Secret Squirrel for the rest of the year, so I have to find myself at this time of the year. I have to find a quality wide receiver. I don't know how that's going to go over at this point, but maybe I'll get lucky and, you know, somebody's coming back from injury and I can pick them up last minute or something, because I don't expect there's going to be a whole lot out there. So just one of those tough situations. Yes, I got the win, but I lost the guy. So I've got to deal with it. I guess I need another big week out of LeSean McCoy. Can they play Cleveland again so I can get another big week? is that possible at all? You know, so I could really use that. So, you know, for some reason, I don't even know why, I'm still hanging on to AJ Green, just hoping maybe he'll come back and play, and, you know, I'll get him. If I can advance this week, I'll get him back for the Super Bowl, and he'll come out and have a huge week, maybe.
You can keep dreaming.
Yes, I can. That's my, you know, so that's why I'm even happier I advanced, knowing that I did it without AJ Green, and I think he was the guy I paid the most for. So, you know, and you know what's weird? Well, maybe you can help me out with this. You know, my kind of disdain for this league and how I just don't really enjoy it. Do I take this as a win that I just made the playoffs, or how do you react now that you made the playoffs in one league? Is that your first time getting in?
Yeah, in football in general.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, even though you went out in the first round, I mean, do you take the season as a win?
Yeah, it's definitely a positive. I mean, I definitely want to win my consolation round so I can hopefully sit at the 5 spot.
Yeah, because it's just... I'm never sure, you know, kind of looking at it going, well, I made the auction league playoffs. All right. is that good enough? Or do I have to, now I managed to win a game. So it's like, okay, well, I won a game. Is that good enough? Do I need to, you know, do I need to keep winning? It's just weird. It's like, I don't know if I should be satisfied with this or, you know, how it kind of is. So.
No, I mean, when I look at my fantasy profile, it definitely, you know, boosts you. And I don't know, even though I didn't win the auction league in baseball again, it's still good to know that I'm in the top rank, I guess you could say.
Yeah, you know, I haven't got, I couldn't tell you the last time I actually did my fantasy profile. I should probably check it one of these times and see how I'm actually doing. It would help me remember because I know I've won a few lately. I just don't remember what the hell they were. So that would actually help me with my my selections here when we're, you know, talking about all the fun stuff we got going on. So. It makes it more interesting, I guess, is how we'll look at it. So, but yes, I'm actually on Yahoo here. I just don't know where my fantasy profile is.
Oh, you'll never find it.
It's got to be somewhere, right? So, how hard could it be? But so yeah, I have a fun, well-rounded week of fantasy sports, I guess. So we'll see how it goes. But I did see, I know it's quite a few years ago now because you've been playing fantasy baseball for a little while. But one of your guys got traded today. Did you see that?
Adrian Gonzalez?
No. One of your older players. You had him when he was actually, yeah, I think he actually did pretty good for you until he got hurt. But Clay Buchholz is now a Philadelphia Philly.
I thought they were trying to get better.
Yeah, I maybe they see something. I don't know what it worked out, but just one of those things, I guess. They're gonna take a look at him. They got a minor league second baseman by the name of Josh Tobias. So that's all you could garner for Clay Buchholz there. I can tell you here, Tobias he's listed as a second base designated hitter. He spent last year split between A and high class A, 127 games, 9 homers. He did drive in 69 runs, stole 10 bases, and hit .291. So he didn't do too bad at the lower level. He made, it looks like he made 14 errors combined at both places. So obviously if he's, still hanging around in A ball, he's a bit of a ways away, and it is odd. He's still in A ball 24. So I don't know, that seems like kind of an older guy to just be, getting to high A. But, I guess guys do blossom late, so we'll have to see if or how anything works out. Buchholz is now 32. It looks like he's only signed for one more year. So it said the Phillies took on all his contractual rights, but it doesn't look like there's much left on that deal. I believe you had him back in 2013 when he went 12-1 and had a 1.74 ERA, but only made 16 starts because he got hurt. So, I actually picked him up and had to carry him for a little while due to injury last year. I didn't have him the whole year, but he was 8-10 in 21 starts. He did pitch in relief in 16 games, so he actually appeared in 37 games last year. I'm assuming the Phillies are looking at him as a starter. He was a two-time All-Star, so you're looking at a guy who's got a little bit of a pedigree, and the Phillies are going to pay him $13.5 million this year.
Well, I mean, they do have Jeremy Hellickson, right?
Yeah, Jeremy Hellickson, and then if Vincent Velasquez is healthy, which you would kind of think he would be now. They have a top three guys at least. Let me see what they have the rest of their rotation looking like here. As I wait for the website to pop up here, I can tell you. There we go. It's roster resource that I've been using. I just have to find. They listed as, they have Jeremy Hellickson as their number one, Aaron Nola as their number two, they pencil Buchholz in as a three, Velasquez as a four, and then Jared Eichhoff is the listed fifth starter right now for the Phillies. So, I think the big improvements they made was in their bullpen. Jenmar Gomez did okay as a closer last year, but he gave up a lot of runs. He had a big ERA. I think the addition of guys like Pat Neshek and Joaquin Benoit will really help Gomez as a closer. You know, Benoit has closing experience as a full-time guy. Nishek has done it here and there. So I think there'll be big, big benefits to them. But I don't know. I mean, does Buchholz help them enough, or would you have just rather seen them give the fifth spot to their best young pitcher and just try to run with that?
Maybe, you know, the age-old change of scenery. Having Buchholz, you're essentially guaranteeing that you're going to have to use your young guys eventually.
So, yeah, you know, they have some guys, I believe, guys like Alec Asher and Jake Thompson made some major league appearances last year. You know, they did acquire, I think Adam Morgan did too. I remember that name. And I know Zach Eflin was a guy they were really high on. They got from the Dodgers last year. You know, maybe. And, you know, they did add Mark Appel. You know, he was the top prospect when the Astros drafted him. Never really developed. Maybe the Phillies is where he finds it and he becomes useful. But you figure if it's only probably 1 year for Buchholz, I can't see them or anybody else really running after him in free agency next year. Can you?
No, not at all.
Yeah, you know, it seems, you know, even when I heard the trade this morning, I was kind of like, huh, that's not that, you know, like I'm not surprised the Red Sox traded a starter because I think they have like 8 now with the Sale deal. But I was just a little surprised that it was Buchholz because I was surprised the team would want him. But yeah, you know, who knows? Maybe he finds some magic there, right?
Exactly. And, you know, kind of bouncing back to the fantasy profile, it turns out this year was the first year I won 10 games, you know, that you brought up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that's what I said. I was surprised your season went that well. But I did want to ask you. I completely forgot about this yesterday. I don't know how it lost my, you know, just disappeared out of my mind. Jimmy Rollins to the Rockies or to the Giants? So
really?
Yeah, he got a minor league deal with the invite to spring training, just like he did with the White Sox last year. You know, he made the team, you know, straight out of spring training. You know, I know the Giants had some injury issues with, you know, the infielders. You know, I know Panic missed some time. You know, Kelby Tomlinson missed some time. And I'm drawing a blank now on the guy at the third baseman they traded. You know, he missed some time, too, before they dealt him. They brought in Eduardo Nunez. He actually ended up missing some time as well. But yeah, I don't know if Rollins has ever played anything but shortstop. You know, Brandon Crawford doesn't miss a lot of games. Can he be valuable as a utility guy?
I think so.
I gotta look here to see if he's played anything else but shortstop. In his career, he's played, oh, you'll like this, 2,227 games at shortstop. He was a DH 7 times. He's played second base 1 time for 1/3 of an inning. So that answers my question. Compared to the 19,513 and 2/3 innings he's played at shortstop in his career. So...
Well, I mean, do they move Crawford to third and try to move Duffy?
No, remember, they traded Duffy to Tampa Bay. That was the name I couldn't remember.
Oh, that's right.
So they traded him for Matt Moore, the left-handed pitcher. But, yeah, I don't know. I think Rollins has got to be the guy, if he wants to make the move, you know, he's got to learn how to play second, learn how to play third. You know, obviously we know he can play short. You know, he hit .221 with the White Sox in 41 games last year before they released him. He did, you know, he still stole 5 bases even in that short period of time. So it looks like he can still run. You know, I'm thinking, is there any chance he could develop into like maybe even a backup center fielder.
I mean, if he still has the speed, and you've got to imagine he's got a pretty solid arm playing shortstop his whole career.
Yeah, you know, he's never had any arm issues, you know. I mean, he's had the, you know, the injuries that, you know, most other guys have had kind of bouncing around and through the league and stuff. But, yeah, he's never had any serious arm injuries. So, yeah, you think maybe, you know, there's even a possibility if that, you know, if he can pick up the position, you know, he could be a, you know, a little bit of a backup, you know, that would be just make him more valuable if he wants to continue to extend his career. I mean, I know he's 38, you know, and I start to wonder, you know, he's a former MVP, you know, multiple time All-Star, multiple time Gold Glove winner. Is he a Hall of Famer? You know, when you think Jimmy Rollins, do you think Hall of Fame? Is he going in? You know, maybe not first ballot, but eventually?
I think eventually, but I don't know. He might be on the vote, you know, on the old man commission, as we say.
Yeah, because, you know, because I'm looking at it here. He's a career 264 hitter. He does have 231 lifetime homers, 936 RBIs, a career 470 stolen bases, 115 triples. He actually has led the league in triples on four different occasions. 2,455 career hits. So, he won the one MVP award back in 2007. Surprisingly, he's only been an All-Star three times. Four gold gloves. So, you know, he's definitely, I mean, I guess he's definitely a candidate. I don't know, you know, how he would be. He's 46th overall in career stolen bases with those 470. So, but yeah, you know, it's one of those things you start to wonder. I mean, he won two world titles with the Phillies.
I believe so.
So, yeah, you know, he's, let me see, yeah, he's got it looks like two. So, yeah, you know, he's got a couple world championships under his belt. So, I don't know. I mean, does it, you know, it's just tough to tell. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, you know, you say Hall of Fame, I don't know. Does, you know, like I said, does he jump out to you? If you had a ballot, if he was on it, so.
That's the challenge, I think, with, you know, the ballots is, or the Hall of Fame voting, it all depends on who's on there with you.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing, too. So, then I know we, the other signing we must not have mentioned much baseball yesterday. But the other signing we missed was the Pirates added some depth to their bullpen. They signed a setup guy Daniel Hudson to set up for your guy Tony Gonzalez. He was actually a prospect in the White Sox. So Tony Watson. I said Tony Gonzalez, didn't I?
Yeah.
He was actually a prospect in the White Sox system, but they dealt him to Arizona in one of the many deals they've done with Arizona. Arizona tried him as a starter, converted him to a reliever. He's had a little success as a reliever. Last year, he had a bit of a high ERA. He was 3-2 with a 5.22 ERA, but he did pitch in 70 games and save five of them. So, you know, he'll be a solid right-handed setup for the Pirates because they did lose Neftali Feliz to free agency. So Hudson will be able to step right in and fill that role. So not a huge signing, but just things, you know, teams need to do to keep the things rolling. So, you know, you gotta plug those guys in.
Now I found
this interesting. This is one of the latest rumors here, Dan, that we always have fun with. You know, the Rockies signed Ian Desmond and their plans were to play him at first base. But now that guys like Edwin Encarnacion and Mark Trumbo seem to be hanging around the market for a really long time, and, you know, their contract numbers are coming down, the Rockies are thinking maybe they're in on one of them. How many home runs does a guy like Encarnacion or Trumbo hit playing 81 games in Colorado? Do they get to 50 or 55?
I feel like Trumbo would have the better opportunity. You know, I think in that part, hit to hit at least 30 bucks.
You know, and now, do you think it would hurt Encarnacion having to play first base every day? You know, like being with Toronto or another American League team, he can get that break and, you know, get half a game off basically in DH. Do you think his numbers would suffer a little with a National League team?
I think so. I don't think he's used to the play.
Yeah, and I mean, that can be a, you know, that can be a grind. You know, I mean, I know people don't think about it, but, you know, it can be. So, you know, and then I saw your guy, Jason Hamill, still on the free agent market, is changing agents. So he's switching from, he apparently was with Octagon, and it looks like he's going to join Aces, is what the reports are. So I don't know. Does that help him get signed?
Well, whatever helps, right?
I guess. I mean, you know, maybe they got something. He's one of those guys I haven't heard much at all about him. I mean, even being rumored to be with anybody. So, you know, is he going to be one of those guys where, you know, spring training is opened and he still doesn't have a team, and then, you know, maybe somebody gets hurt or all of a sudden he finally comes to an agreement with a team, you know, the week after spring training started?
Like the Brewers?
Yeah, well, kind of like the Brewers did with Kyle Loesch that one year, or, yeah, you know, just one of those teams where, you know, they say, oh, crap, you know, we're a starter short. Who's still out there? And, you know, there's Jason Hamill, you know, not anywhere, you know, just kind of one of those things. Or do you see him maybe getting a deal before that?
I think he might get a deal before it, but at the same time, I think it might just not be a huge one.
But yeah, and then now for our NFL picks last week, you were the only one smart enough to take Carolina last night. So you, that actually won you the week. You were 13-3. I believe Schomburg, Stu, and Mr. Fantasy were each a game behind you at 12-4. And then I, of course, was in the cellar where I belong at 11-5. So you have reclaimed second place. You and Mr. Fantasy are tied. Sadly, it just doesn't look like anybody's catching Schomburg, Stu this year. I think you're going to need two perfect weeks to do it. So, you know, realize that when you're making your picks there. And I'm just stuck in the cellar. I could probably have two perfect weeks and not catch either you or Mr. Fantasy. So, but I did want to update. You and I talked about this a little bit last week of the Giants' use of a walkie-talkie on the sidelines. Now, the NFL has ruled on this. The Giants themselves, the organization, has been fined $150,000. The coach, wow, Ben McAdoo, has been fined $50,000. And the team will also lose their fourth-round pick in the 2017th draft. Well, actually, they won't lose it. What they did is they've moved it. The NFL has moved it to the end of the fourth round. So they will get the very last pick in the fourth round, even behind the compensatory picks that teams get for losing free agents. So that ended up being the penalty for them using the walkie-talkie.
Pretty stiff, huh?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's not Deflategate, but, you know, I mean, it's still the draft pick I don't think matters too much, but the fine, you know, that's a pretty good dollar amount. I mean, even though teams are making, you know, millions of dollars, but that's still a hefty fine for, if you think about it, just using a walkie-talkie. You know, that's all they did. So, you know, just one of those odd odd situations, but you know, good old NFL. And now, did you see a couple guys chime in on you know, going against the NFL when they didn't fine Ezekiel Elliott for jumping into the Salvation Army bucket? Odell Beckham Jr. came out right away and, of course, said, well, you know, if it was me, you know, if it was me, they would be, you know, taking me to task. And Le'Veon Bell of the Steelers also mentioned that he felt the same way. If it had been him, they would have made a much different ruling. So
I don't know.
What do you think? I don't think it would have made any difference. I did want your opinion on this. I only saw the highlights of this, and I don't know how much of the game you watched. Did you see the maybe the highlight of it? Maybe you're watching live. Did you see the Cam Newton hit last night, where he ended up throwing the ball at the defender, and they threw the flag, and actually threw the flag on Newton for taunting, because technically it's taunting when you throw a ball at the other guy?
No, I missed that.
Yeah, if you get a chance, pick up that highlight, because I would really like to get your thoughts on it. Looked like there was helmet-to-helmet contact. Now, Newton was giving himself up, and to be fair, the Redskins defender was already in the air. He was already diving when Newton started to slide. And, you know, again, I don't know how you stop yourself in, you know, that situation. I mean, if you're in midair, you just can't pull the brakes or anything like that. But I still think they should have thrown the flag there. I still think that's a personal foul, because all I can think of, you know, is if it's, you know, if it's Tom Brady, or, you know, that's an Aaron Rodgers, or even Russell Wilson. You know, they're throwing a flag there, and I just don't understand why Cam doesn't get these calls.
Because, I don't know. I mean, there's definitely something against him.
You know, now, are you buying the fact, I keep hearing this, I heard this, I think, literally from three or four different analysts today, that Cam doesn't get the calls because of his size. You know, he is legitimately like 6'5 and 240. But I don't understand, you know, I mean, how does a ref, well, he's a big guy. Yeah, so what? He's a big guy. He's still getting hit in the head. I mean, he's been rocked a few times this year. Do you buy that?
No.
Aren't
they all bigger than the referees? So
yeah, well, you know, the quarterbacks, you know, I mean, for like a quarterback, he is huge, you know. And it was funny, because like they actually had it last night, he was, let's call it, having a discussion with one of the Washington Redskins defensive linemen, and Newton was actually a few inches taller than the guy, and obviously being a defensive lineman, he was probably 50 or 60 pounds heavier. But I mean, Newton looked big and almost measurable up to this guy, and I'm thinking, holy crap, that's a defensive lineman. And you know, here's Cam just, hey, I'm right here, buddy, what's your problem, you know? And it was like, holy geez. So you know, I wonder if maybe refs see that and go, oh well, you know, look at that, he's that big.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not supposed to judge on, you know, size. The call is a call.
No, I mean, you wouldn't think. I mean, I you know, and obviously they're not going to admit to anything. You know, it's just one of those, you know, one of those situations. But yeah, it seems like there's just quite a bit of bias when it comes to, you know, refereeing Cam Newton and refereeing everybody else, especially quarterbacks. And I've never been able to figure it out. And to be fair, I am a Cam Newton guy. I've always liked Cam. So I do see it a little unfairly.
I think it's his old image, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you think that hurts him?
Yeah, from, you know, the clothing, the dancing, the whole nine.
I love the dancing. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. You go out, you lose the Super Bowl, and then the next thing you know, oh, well, you know, I worked on a new dance. I don't care about your stupid dances. Why don't you work on getting better and winning the Super Bowl?
Yeah, you know, and I, to be honest, I haven't even really watched any of his dances this year, so I don't know what he's doing. So.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. It's kind of like, it doesn't, you know, you were the definition of sulking child when they lost. The off season happens, and the next thing you know, it's, well, you know, I worked on a new dance. Not, I, you know, recapped and tried to figure out what I could do better or any of that kind of stuff. I worked on a new dance. And all that,
yeah, I, you know,
you're not going back to the Super Bowl.
No, there, you know what's weird is it doesn't look like either of the teams that were in the Super Bowl last year are going to make the playoffs. You know, both teams, you know, they still have chances. You know, neither, you know, they need big help and, you know, all kinds of fun stuff are happening for, you know, for them to get in. But I'm wondering when the last time that actually happened was that the Super Bowl teams didn't make it into the playoffs.
I mean, are you really surprised? I mean, I'm more surprised by Carolina than I am Denver.
Yeah, I thought Carolina really had something to build on last year. You know, I really thought they would return. You know, Denver, you know, even as much as Peyton Manning struggled, you knew he was going to be tough to replace. So I, you know, that doesn't shock me as much, but yeah, I at least thought Carolina would be a playoff team. You know, I'm not sure if I was sold they were going to get back to the Super Bowl, but I thought they'd at least get in the playoffs. Playoffs. I felt like Jim Moore. Good Lord. So, all right, Dan, I'm looking at a lot of games here on the NHL schedule. So we're going to jump out and, start working on these picks a little early. I can tell you did go 2-1 last night. You went against Nashville, your future hometown, and they beat the Flyers in overtime 2-1. So it didn't work out. But we're going to start with the NHL. Technically it's a tie, but they did lose in a shootout. Yeah. So, but even so, it's still a loss for you. Cause they didn't win the game. So we've got a lot of games here, so let's get rolling. We got the New York Islanders at the Boston Bruins, the Nashville Predators again tonight at the New Jersey Devils, the New York Rangers at the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Los Angeles Kings at the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Anaheim Ducks at the Montreal Canadiens, the Detroit Red Wings at the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Buffalo Sabres at the Florida Panthers, the Colorado Rockies at the Minnesota Wild, the Ottawa Senators at the Chicago Blackhawks, the St. Louis Blues at the Dallas Stars, and the Calgary Flames at the San Jose Sharks. We'll do 2-2 today, Dan, since there's so many NHL games. You know the first one you're going to get here is the Ottawa Senators at the Chicago Blackhawks. Who are you going with to win this game?
I'm going to go Hawks.
Go Hawks. Yeah, the Hawks have been rolling lately. I think a lot of people are surprised that they're the team with the most points in hockey. You know, then I think we're going to go with this last game here, Dan. The Calgary Flames at the San Jose Sharks. If you had a chance Sunday, you got to see the Sharks play a little bit against the Blackhawks. I can tell you that the Sharks are in first place in the Pacific Division. They're 7-3 in their last 10. Calgary is actually 7-2-1 in their last 10. and they are 3 points behind the Sharks in the Pacific Division. So it's a pretty solid matchup here. Who you got winning this game?
Yeah, you can't go against the Sharks in the tank.
Well, you could. It's, you know, if you wanted to, I would let you. So, you know, I wouldn't have any problem if you wanted to make that move. So, all right, let's pop up our NBA schedule here. We've got a couple games already started. The New Orleans Pelicans at the Philadelphia 76ers and the Los Angeles Lakers at the Charlotte Hornets are already underway. So they're off our board here. The rest of the night, we got the Brooklyn Nets at the Toronto Raptors, the Indiana Pacers at the New York Knicks, the Orlando Magic at the Miami Heat, the Cleveland Cavaliers at the Milwaukee Bucks, the Boston Celtics at the Memphis Grizzlies. The first game on NBA TV tonight is the San Antonio Spurs at the Houston Rockets. We got the Denver Nuggets at the Los Angeles Clippers. The doubleheader in the NBA TV has the Utah Jazz at the Golden State Warriors. And the night wraps up with the Portland Trail Blazers at the Sacramento Kings. Dan, you know we're going Knicks here with the first game. The Pacers are in New York to take on the Knicks. I did see that Derrick Rose is going to play. Who do you like in this game? Dan's processing his stats. Either that or he muted himself, one of the two. So.
Yeah, I muted myself. I said, I'm going with the Knicks.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just thinking of the game really hard there for a little bit, or it showed. So, all right, and then we're going to the second NBA TV game, Dan. The Utah Jazz have won 12 of their last 14. But they're going to Oracle Arena tonight, Dan. Golden State has won, I believe it's 4 in a row. Yeah, they're 8-2 in their last 10. Can Utah go in there and get a win, or are you going with Golden State tonight?
I don't know why, but I'm going with the Jazz.
Oh, going with the upset. Trying to pull the upset out of his head there. I like that. That's That's interesting. I was a little surprised there. I thought maybe, you know, you might go with, you know, the Pacers over the Knicks or something like that. I did not see you going against the Warriors, so we'll have to see.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Oh, and I have to remind you,
yeah, you know,
the Avalanche, not the Rockies, that play in Colorado.
Did I say
in
the NHL again?
Yeah.
With only, those damn NHL teams.
Well, no, and it's only Arizona and Colorado. Those are the only two teams you
do.
Yeah,
I guess I'm hung up with, you know, baseball still. All right, the music means Dan and I are leaving. Forget it. I'm not screwing up any more names. Don't worry, we're back tomorrow at 5:30 to give me the opportunity to do it again. You know the deal while we're away. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out all the stuff there. Follow the link to the Facebook page. Give that a like. The Twitter feed, at SportsTimeRadio. Dan's picks come up there, or they come up at Dan Z Man. Remember, there's three E's in that. On the ice tonight, he likes the Blackhawks and the San Jose Sharks to get wins. In the NBA, he's going with the Knicks, and he's calling the upset tonight. He's going with the Jazz over the Warriors. Get on that Twitter feed. Let Dan know what you think. As always, don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.
At least you didn't call him Andre. Sports Time Radio.